what?
Yes, sir.
Looks like it.
I'm going to call this meeting to order. And I need a motion to adopt the agenda for today. Solomon made the motion. Tensha second. Is there any discussion? It's after we approve the minutes.
Okay. Agenda or minutes?
Minutes. We do agenda, then minutes, and then we have hearing of citizens.
Are we on the agenda right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hearing no discussion. All those in favor of adopting the agenda for today's meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions? Hearing none, unanimous. On to the approval of the minutes. I need a motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Second with Paul. Are there any amendments that need to be made to the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes from our last meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? Unanimous. Next, we have public forum. If there's anyone that wishes to speak, you may do so, and you have 5 minutes to say what you need to. Bijou would like to speak.
I'd like to first of all recognize and welcome one of our African faculty members, Pastor Mark Hoffman, who is here to participate in collegiate governance. I hope and wish that it will be the first of many sessions that he attends.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Any other members that wish to speak? Okay. Irma and then Brian. Irma, you have the floor.
Just a reminder that Career Day is November 16th, coming up in a couple of weeks.
And
November 16th.
Brian?
Yes, just an announcement regarding the Noel Levitz survey. I had made the announcement a couple of meetings ago, that we were originally going to administer the survey this semester, but because of the lateness of time passing and so on, I've decided to put it off until spring semester. And the Noel Levitz, briefly, if you're not familiar with it, is actually a survey of faculty, staff, and administration, as well as students. So actually two surveys. Calvary Colleges have done the survey every 5 years, so beginning in 1995, I think, when Bruce Wallace handled it, this type of thing, if I'm not mistaken, Bruce. So we've continued that every 5 years, usually in this fall or spring semester, and then we do an analysis of the results, and usually by the following fall semester, which in this case would be 2011. We produce, show the results, and so on and so forth. One just comment on that, where the faculty actually play a very important role, is that the part of the test has to be administered to students face to face. So we're going to call upon you as faculty members to give a little bit of time in your classes to have me or somebody come in and administer the test in your classrooms. Again, it's not going to take place until next semester. So it's a little, I'm just giving you sort of a heads up. that this is coming, and so on. Contrary to the way Quentin Hansen did this a couple of years ago, I will not be able to offer candy bars to successful participants. There's no candy bar incentives here. It's just the goodness of your heart to participate in the Noel Levitz survey. So more to be said later on.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Anyone else? Dr. Garcia?
I would like to announce that the fifth staircase is going to take place in Midland Friday and Saturday. Friday at 5 o'clock, we're going to have dinner. Everybody's invited. We're going to have hot dog and hamburger. You're welcome. That's it.
Thank you. Okay, any more? Hearing of citizens. Right. Seeing none, on to announcements. Most of you know that Halloween lockdown this year is on Friday, October 29th, and that's occurring from 8:30 in the morning till 12 p.m. in the Tech Building.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you're gonna lock up all the kids, are you?
Yes, we are.
All right, there is a webinar on November 3rd to go over SB 1440, and it's free, so if you're interested in it, you can let one of us know, and we could probably try and work with IT and see where we should go and how we can get this set up and running. This won't be the last one, and they are going to be posting the webinar for public viewing after it's over, so you will be able to listen to the information and questions and comments that are occurring. We have some days off coming in November, the 11th and 12th. 12th is no instruction, but campus will be open. We have career day on the 16th. Our withdrawal deadline is November 19th, so if you know some students that maybe should be encouraged to take that road, talk to them about that. And then Thanksgiving holiday, of course, we are closed. With that, David Silva has asked for some time on the agenda to share with us an information item. David, you have the floor.
Do they have a copy of the information plan?
All 51
yep.
pages?
There's the subcommittee that came about from the matriculation major committee. And basically what we did is that we divided the portions and we asked the experts in each component kind of give us updates pertaining to the matriculation plan. It is a committee of the Senate, so therefore we brought it back into the Senate just so that we were aware of the changes or the reviews that come about. There were a couple of five changes, a couple of SB changes as well, with the implementation of DataTel that took a special role in the matriculation as well. Nothing too drastic besides the budget. So we will send to you the 2010 revised matriculation plan.
Thank you. It was good work.
If you have any questions specifically after you review the plan, please bring it forward. It is a document that's ongoing. So any amendments that we do, we just basically submit it to the Chancellor's Office for review and so on.
Thank you, David. Okay, leadership.
Who has a question?
Okay, so.
Do changes get flagged or made noticeable in any way, or is it just every time a whole new document is prepared?
The way we've done matriculation in the past is that we do the plan, then we revise it every 3 years. They do site visits as well. As a matter of fact, there's a matriculation coordinators meeting coming up in November, and they're talking about coming back and doing site visits. It's the budget. I'm not clear that's going to happen, but it's an ongoing.
But I think as far as the document, because I haven't read the whole thing, so but I remember the last time I looked at it, so just wondering if it would be obvious what was different or not.
There's no significant difference besides the budget and the implementation of DataTel. there's now a new sub-coordinator, if you will, and that's going to be me. So that's,
well, that's helpful. Now I know where to look to see what's different. Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Yeah, sure, I'll be more than happy.
Okay.
Any further questions? Thank you. Leadership reports. I have actually a couple of things to report, and one I know you're all wondering about, and that is summer session. It has been recommended that, again, there will be no summer session aside from the classes that are required for the nursing program. But I did make a recommendation during our college council meeting today that student services look at the proposed schedule of classes. And if they see areas where it may be a little soft, areas that might impede a student completing their transfer or associate's degree with the spring session, then recommendations will be made as to what courses need to be added in the spring. So we wait to hear, you know, from student services and the instruction office on those recommendations. Okay, next thing. Seat sponsorship for the new building, the theater. You can purchase sponsorship. And I think you remember I brought that piece of wood in and there was a little plaque. Okay, now we've got little flyers, and you'll all be getting one of these, and I'll pass it around, but make sure I get it back because this one's mine. This has an order form on it, I believe. There's going to be a chamber mixer on November 10th at 5 o'clock inside the empty area of the new building, like the foyer area. So if you want to come, and that's going to be the first kickoff event on, you know, getting and advertising the sponsorships of the seats. And they are $2 a seat.
How many?
$200 to sponsor a seat. So I thought I would pass that along, and I'm sure there'll be more information coming out about the chamber mixer as they get everything planned. And I know they're going to be doing something big with homecoming as well to help kick that off. Ms. Vice President.
I have something. I've been designated keeper of the committee records. So please forward to me your committee agendas and minutes, and I'll keep electronic as well as hard copies of those.
Secretary?
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report. All right. Committee reports.
Flex is meeting this Thursday at 3. Anybody wants to come?
Going once? Brian?
I have actually two reports, but one is the Program Review Committee met last week, and it's a little early in the process. I know there are like three or four divisions doing program reviews this year, but we just looked at some of the vocational program reviews, the two-year updates every 2 years. We just looked at them. It was all the vocational areas except for nursing, as I recall. So we didn't make any assessment or anything. We're going to look at it next month, the next meeting. But the other thing we did make a recommended change to the program review template. Now, there are two templates, the non-instructional and instructional. The change to the template will have no effect whatsoever on anyone preparing a program review. The change has to do with the way the committee assesses the program review report. Currently, before this, we had a kind of a complicated checklist system which never worked. So we've gotten rid of that and put something very simple. It says the program review committee approves the program review report and encourages send it right along the process, along in this. Go ahead with the process of program review. Or we say, well, if there are serious problems with the report, send it back to the division for rework. And then thirdly, recommendations for that for the program. So it's kind of those three major things: approve, disapprove, and go back for reconsideration. And thirdly, any recommendations that we see as important for that particular program. That's essentially a simplification of what we have before.
Sounds good. All right. Any other committee reports?
I just had a question for Brian.
Okay.
Does only the program review committee have input into this template?
Actually, we're going to present it to the for the Senate eventually.
Oh, so come for a
Yeah, I just haven't, yeah, actually it just occurred to me that we did it, so I'll explain to you what to do. There's no reason why you couldn't have any input. I have another report. SLO committee report. SLO committee met just an hour ago.
Yes.
Right before this meeting. The invitation is always open to anyone who wants to sit in and participate in the discussion. The discussion today is centered around a resolution that I think is going to be coming up at the Senate today. So that was the nature, that was the essential, the nature of our discussion today.
Any other committee reports? That said, we will move on to unfinished business, but my secretary and sergeant at arms needs to explain something to you all.
Just one thing?
Okay. Let me get right to it first. Okay. Earlier today,
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the resolution. What was up there?
Second row?
Hold on a second. Okay. The resolution that is up for approval today is this one, right here on the, that you see on the screen. Dr. Null sent out an email today saying that there was an error made, and he is correct. An error was made in the procedure, in the parliamentary procedure, that when a resolution or any issue brought to the assembly has been tabled, cannot be touched or amended in any way. It can be discussed, but nothing can be changed to the document. So the Senate leadership admits error and fault on that part. Second issue that came up was, well, what exactly is it that we are approving today? The entire problem starts from March 23rd. If you don't recall, and if you want to listen to the recording, the entire discussion went completely out of order. There were motions being made left and right. People were talking out of order. No one really had control of the floor. So what happened is that at the end, much like I put here in the minutes of, let's see, I'm trying to, In the minutes of March 23rd, what I did was I put down that everything was out of parliamentary procedure. There was a motion on the floor that was not voted upon. And then furthermore, there was another motion. There was a motion to table the issue into the fall, in which case here we are now. And then after that motion was approved, someone else made a motion to support this resolution, the original resolution from the State Academic Senate, which was completely out of line because the previous motion had put that issue at rest. So therefore, where we are now, okay, is where do we go? We go all the way back to where we can do is make a motion on the floor to restore up to the point where it has been first and seconded to approve the resolution from March 23rd. And the floor is then open for discussion and amendment. Robert.
Move to approve the resolution as originally written.
I think a motion. What we need first is a motion from the body to restore back to the point of where everything went crazy. So we need to restore.
Move to rewind and restore.
Is there a second? Okay. All right. Okay. Now, to know.
To be perfectly clear, who is allowed to recognize a motion? The secretary of this body? Who's running the meeting?
I am, and I asked for the proper.
Okay. It sounded like that was what Richard did.
He was explaining.
Thank you.
Since he's listened to the recording probably 20 times.
And you don't want to listen to everything else afterwards. Okay.
So there is the motion to rewind and restore. It has been seconded. Do we need discussion on rewinding and restoring?
Well, how does this kind of thing happen in the first place where does somebody walk into your office and say, I'd like to change this? Because how do they get in there?
We've already dealt with that issue, Greg.
To get in there.
No, we are restoring back to March.
I know.
But we've already addressed
this thing doesn't go on every now and then at the whim of, you know, one particular faculty member. And it makes you wonder about your union contract. I mean, you know, you think this was in the language and then maybe something else got put in the language.
This is definitely sentence. There's, what we do here has nothing to do with your union contract.
I know, but how did this happen?
A mistake was made.
How can the title be changed? The supplement be added? I mean, obviously, the officers had to have let it happen. This is an ethical violation, if not a...
I call for the question. Isn't there a motion and a second on the table, on the floor, to look at that?
No.
This is way
off the topic. It's open to discussion.
It's open to discussion right now.
That's completely irrelevant to the functioning of this Senate.
Point of order.
This is an ethical concern that
I'm
bringing
up. Point of order. A call for the question must be acted upon immediately and cannot be debated. Members may choose not to vote, not to call the question, but they may not debate such a motion, and they may not ignore it.
Richard actually asked for the floor, and I'm keeping...
In response to Dr. Null's first question, the mistake was made, okay? The parliamentary procedure was out of order. Denise and I admitted. We did not know about the tabling at all. So any suggestions that were made and everything else, okay, were taken as, hey, we can do this. We admit fault with that. I hope that answers your question and closes the issue. If it does not, then, okay, we were in it. This is our first time being president, my first time being secretary, Sherry's first time being VP. Any one of us in this room can make that mistake. And as one person in this room commented earlier, business as usual is PVC, okay? And I'm just meaning that as a joke. Everyone in this room makes a mistake. The leadership made a mistake. Let's move on from that. The original resolution that was proposed back in March is right here in front of you, okay? This one right here has Palo Verde College academics centered in there. That's the original motion. Right there. The only difference between this and what was erroneously posted on the Senate website by me, assuming that, you know, and taking to the assumption that this was the right thing to do, the only thing that it's ever changed is Academic Senate from Palo Verde College has changed to Academic Senate of California Community Colleges, in which the entire text of this original resolution is strictly from the state resolution. There's no other changes.
With the title?
This was the title right here. This is the original title right here that we, the Senate officers, came up with. That's it. That's the only thing that's original on there. Everything else, what we are arguing, if I can just go ahead and find it right here, this right here, everything, what's erroneously on the website, this right here is the actual original title of the resolution. This right here is original language from our local Senate saying we support this resolution. Everything from here on down up to this point is the original language from the state Senate resolution that was approved in fall 2008. This right here, again, this is erroneous. Right here was the addition that which Dr. Null addressed this afternoon and which we have corrected, which we admit fault and error to.
That said, I want this issue closed. We did address this, we admitted our mistake, and said that we would remove the added language so that it could come up properly in the Senate. And I want to thank Robert for what you said. Mm-hmm. And Bijou would like to floor for...
So, just before... Just before, this is the resolution, the original from March 23rd, that we're dealing with now, right here. Okay.
Go ahead,
that's
thank
it.
You.
I commend the Senate leadership for admitting their mistake and to Dr. Null for being very vigilant with this process. I think, as you rightly said, mistakes were made, and you are accepting it. So it is desirous at this time, though, while accepting the mistake, how do we avoid this in the future?
By learning that this was not the proper process. Now we know what the process is.
Okay.
So we don't do that again.
Okay.
Now, Robert, if you wouldn't mind, would you repeat your motion for me?
Call the question.
Call for the question.
Yeah. I mean, if there's no other discussion on the resolution, any no amendments or any other discussion, we can vote on it.
If I may, my understanding was that I was calling for the question on just rewinding and restarting.
Okay.
So that then is we go on to consider
all those that are in favor of the rewind restart, please signify by raising your hands. Okay, restoration is approved.
All those opposed?
All those opposed, sorry. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Okay, now it's open to discussion and amendments on this original resolution.
Do we have to make a motion to approve? Okay, now that it has been restored, we are at the point of the resolution is now open for discussion. Yeah, we are going to limit the overall discussion. What time is it?
3:30.
Overall discussion, 10 minutes. Each person will get 2 minutes time on the floor. If you don't use your time, we can give it to the next member who is recognized. Robert Bijou Bryan.
Robert. Do you want to approve the resolution?
As is?
As is.
Okay. Motion has been made to approve the resolution as it is.
Can you go up?
Okay. Is this the one that's on the website right now?
Point of order.
Yes, Robert, there is
the motion needs either a second or it needs to die, in which case this
In this case, since I've listened to the recording so many times, what we've done is we've restarted everything. It's now open to, it has been first, it has been moved, it has been seconded.
Back in.
We are in discussion, in discussion amendment.
I'm sorry.
So unless you're calling for the question to approve it, that's the next step. Right.
So
if I could make a comment?
Yeah, because you still have the floor, and then it's Bijou and Brian.
I think it's a good resolution. I think it's a reasonable resolution. I think it's a good idea to simply support the State Academic Senate. And I point out that basically, as far as I've heard from anybody I've ever talked to, including Dr. Hartois, there's unanimity here at the college about not putting SLOs, especially not in any heavy-handed way, into faculty evaluation.
Good, thank you. Bijou, you have the floor?
Based on the input from Richard that this is boilerplate down from the Academic Senate, the statewide Academic Senate, and which has already been adopted, which is my understanding, at the statewide Academic Council meeting, I support this resolution that there be no inclusion of student learning outcomes in faculty evaluations, and we accept the boilerplate resolution without tweaking the language.
All right. And Brian?
I appreciate Bijou's point and Robert's, but I thought that the language was tweaked. This is not the statewide Academic Senate resolution. This has the words Calvary College inserted in lieu of the statewide Academic Senate. This is the original, so this has been reworked. And so it's not the original thought, it's a edited version of the statewide academic senate resolution, beyond that, which I would not have a big problem with. However, I do have a concern with, for example, line 38 and following, which says Palo Verde College Academic Senate, that's us, work with the Accrediting Commission for Junior Colleges and so on, for state, and other statewide organizations to ensure accreditation recommendations and so on and so forth. I'm not sure if we are in a position ourselves alone to work with the ACCJC. We could, but it's a big, big task. That's why, and for that reason, I thought that the other version, simply quoting and supporting the statewide academic senate resolutions efforts with the ACCJC, was a much more practical and manageable approach. So I thought, that's why I think that the going back to the original resolution by the statewide academic senate and simply saying, we, Albany College Academic Senate, support this. I thought that was much more manageable and realistic. It's simply supporting an existing resolution.
Time word for word. Is up, and Bijou would like to floor again.
You're given two conflicting opinions or inputs here. One is Richard says that this is exactly why I played it down, which means the template from the Academic Senate has been adopted with the inclusion of Palo Verde College where appropriate. Other than that, there is no change in language from the statewide Academic Senate. But we have another input from Mr. Devo, who says that it has been tweaked in order to modify and suit our local concerns. I'm confused.
This is the resolution where the point to which we arrived before things went out of order, where there was no order, it was just chaos. Now, what I'm hearing, it may be that there needs to be a motion to remove language in those lines that Brian was referring to. If someone wants to make that motion, we can remove 38, 39. That's what's happening. That said, Bijou, I'm sorry, did you want more time?
I just need clarification, which is the correct one, which is boilerplated down from the statewide academic senate.
This one right here on the screen.
This
so
one.
It is word for word, except where Palo Verde College
right.
is inserted.
It's word for word.
Exactly.
I accept the resolution as it is without changing anything
okay.
else.
How are we on Dr. Garcia, ask for the floor.
As far as I remember, this is what you wanted for, exactly what is there. So the motion there is accepted as it is. So what are we talking about?
Okay, we have 4 minutes left.
I call so the question.
Okay.
Robert.
Robert B2. Robert, you have the floor.
Move to amend by restoring the original language. That is, by removing the words Palo Verde College Academic Senate and simply go with the original state senate language.
Second the motion.
Second.
So for clarification, Palo Verde, where it says Palo Verde College Academic Senate, lines 31, 35, and 38 switch to Academic Senate. That's what you're looking for. Okay.
I think,
yes.
May I make further comment? I think in order for it to make any sense, you need to do more than that. You need to explain, because it's the statewide Academic Senate that you're substituting back to. So we need to explain that we're supporting this. It's not going to make any sense.
Okay, Paul, you had your hand up, you okay?
Yeah, from what Brian brought it up, it was actually lines 38 and 39. So my understanding was to remove Palo Verde College and replace that with the state senate only on those lines. And
right.
We were okay with the previous ones.
Okay. It was Robert, Brian, let's see, was it Sue or?
I just read
someone. Okay. So it's Robert Bijou.
Sue.
Do I have the floor?
I think so. Robert's not acknowledging.
Okay, to address Mr. Diego's concern, I think that the first line resolution clearly states support of Academic Senate for California Community Colleges resolution. So we are voting in favor of that particular resolution. So I don't see need for any further tweaking of the language, and we accept it while you play it as it is.
Could you scroll it back up to the top?
Yeah, that paragraph.
Okay. Robert.
I was just going to suggest a further amendment. Just add a take out the Palo Verde College academic, Palo Verde College, just take out the names, except at the very bottom, put a sentence that says, therefore, it is resolved that the Palo Verde College Academic Senate supports the State Academic Senate resolution on SLOs and evaluation.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
The motion has been made. Seconded by Barb. Any further discussion? Sue has the floor.
Can you please put the other one back up?
Sure.
So we know what we're looking at. We now have three versions.
No, we don't. We have two.
We have two.
The original is just what we just came from. This was the one that was that Dr. Noll was disputing earlier this afternoon.
Which is where we've arrived so far.
Is this what's on the website right now?
That's what's on the website right now.
No, let me see
how
what she's got.
How does this affect your motion, Dr. Robertson? Nothing to do with it?
I couldn't
this
say the chair is not right.
It's not what we're looking at because of the added language, which is done properly. Because it had to come to the everything is the same stuff. What is the motion on the floor?
Okay. The motion that is on the floor right now is a further amendment to the amendment made by Dr. Robertson to add a sentence at the end of...
Which one?
This resolution, the original resolution, that says, therefore, it be further resolved that Palo Verde College Academic Senate supports the statewide resolution. That's what's on the floor right now to be voted upon.
Who has the floor?
You do.
Okay. This doesn't work. Let's vote it down and start over.
You have to call for the vote on the amendment.
It doesn't work. We're not going to change the ACCJC, and we're not going to change all that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not what we're asking for. What's been asked for? What's been asked for is that in some of the areas, like line 38, Palo Verde College be removed and California State Academic Senate okay. Replace it.
That's
good.
That's
no. Okay. We made a motion, first of all, to strike Palo Verde College Academic Senate out from the resolution. And then, now it's open up for discussion. And they made another amendment to just add another sentence at the end, so therefore be it resolved. That our Senate supports the statewide academic senate.
So the amendments are removing it completely.
Yeah, removing academic senate from boilerplate language and adding and inserting back the state senate's name. Okay.
Final sentence.
Okay. And then the final sentence. And then he made another motion, and it was seconded by Barbara to insert the sentence. Therefore, be it further resolved. Palo Verde Academic Senate supports the original state resolution. So that's what's being voted on right now.
Okay, so you guys understand now the two amendments that are on the floor. Okay.
Will you please enumerate on those amendments?
Okay, it's a good thing I'm paying attention. The vote on the floor right now is to add this. What Dr. Robertson first motioned was to go into this resolution, take out Palo Verde Academic Senate, and replace it with ASCCC, okay, the state senate's name. That was first and it was seconded, and then now it's open up for more discussion, and now you made another amendment to the amendment saying, add this sentence at the end, which would be line 42, saying, therefore be it further resolved, the Palo Verde Academic Senate supports the state resolution. Plain and simple. That's what's being on
those
the floor
the
right now
amendments.
To vote.
Has it been seconded?
Yeah,
it
all
has
of that's
been seconded,
seconded
by Barbara.
Our time, we are over our time. I need to call for the question. All those in favor of this resolution with the two amendments, please signify by raising your hands.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 14.
All those not in favor, raise your hand.
Seven.
All those who abstain, show of hands.
Higher. Eight.
So the yeas get it.
The resolution with the amendments has been passed.
The resolution with those two amendments has been passed.
What?
Wait.
What? How many abstentions were there?
Eight. But the abstentions go with.
Oh, the abstentions.
Yeah.
Abstentions don't count as against.
They don't count as against. All right. What time is it?
When are we
going to
see this?
3:45.
3:45. We have 15 more minutes. Let's move on to Senate bylaws. Or do we want to table that to the next meeting?
Move to table the Senate bylaws to the next meeting.
I need a motion and a second.
Second.
Who made the first? You?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, and Bijou seconded. All those in favor of tabling Senate bylaws to our next meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Opposed.
Kim Roberts opposed. Any abstentions? Hearing none, on to new business. Mr. Clinton, you have the floor.
Thank you. Recently, this semester, I had a student situation in one of my classes where it just wasn't beneficial for the student to remain in my class for multiple reasons. One, behavior issues, also his attendance. So I looked up in our college catalog and discovered that as an instructor here at Palo Verde College, I have no rights. I have no rights to remove a student from my classroom based on attendance, or if I wanted to remove that student for behavioral purposes, I have to go through this lengthy process. Even though I felt threatened at the time, I still realized that the student could come back the very next class session, which I wasn't comfortable with. So what I did is a little bit of homework and looked through some colleges here in California and their attendance policy. I'm not ready to tackle the behavioral issues because that's a bigger monster and I'm not ready to do that right now. But I would like to, and I hope that you have or will give me your support, I would like to see that in the college catalog there is an attendance policy that allows the instructor, the individual instructor, to determine his or her own attendance policy. However that may be developed, it is up to the complete determination by the professor as they see fit. So if you look there, I underlined the big component of this where the requirements are determined by the course professor. Students who do not meet the attendance requirement as determined by the course professor may be withdrawn by the course professor. I know course professors in there a lot, but that's who we are. So what I would like to do is get an approval from the Senate so that we can take this to the College Council and get it adopted into our catalog.
Bijou.
I make a motion supporting Philip's request to take this matter to the College Council and enforce what is already existing in the college catalogs, which is accepting the college policy.
Second
the
motion.
Dr. Garcia seconds. And the item is open for discussion, and I would like to make a recommendation. I know that you didn't want to really address the whole behavior issue, but if the language in the catalog and the student handbooks, which are pretty much the same, is not supportive of a faculty's right to eject someone from the classroom with being disruptive, that needs to also be in here. We do have board policy that supports that. So the language needs to be there so that the student knows that we have the absolute right, if they are disrupting our classroom, that they will be asked to leave. I saw one over here first. Sue, Philip, and Paul.
First, I'm very interested in this topic also. The difficulty with just making one recommendation in terms of withdrawing students, and my understanding after talking to the registrar that we're not allowed to do that. That the only time that...
That's the point of this.
Yeah, instructor initiated, no, because of the state policies, not because of the individual college policies, that we're not allowed to complete an instructor initiated withdrawal if the student's attended once. But certainly, as Denise's pointed out, behavior, I think Ashley is covered by board policy, but I think this is exactly what the Senate should be talking about, are these types of issues, and I'm much more interested in this kind of topic than some of the things we have to talk about. And it says, you know, in the catalog, but that's not the place to start. I think this is something the Senate should take up, and then it makes a recommendation for board policy to back us up in terms of what we recommend as the educators. I think we're going to lose out on the withdrawal because I think that the state policy is going to say we can't do that.
Other colleges are doing it, and that's where I got this from. And second, to address Denise's comment, I don't mind taking up the behavioral issue. I just didn't want to compound it, you know, one bite at a time. So let's do the attendance first, and then definitely take a look at the behavioral issue.
Thank you. Paul, you have the floor.
I'm not sure why we might do this or why we can't drop this in, because through this research, and I had experience at JP College when I taught part-time, and I think though they have a more precise definition, and it was something, if I remember correctly, if a student misses 25% of lecture time, then the student may drop the student from the class. So I recommend to check what other colleges do in that sense, and possibly come up with some more precise language.
BG, you have a thought?
I like the language as it is, since it's the prerogative of the instructor to determine behavioral problems. And it's not based just solely on a number, which is 25% of missed classes. Mm-hmm. And if a student is being disruptive to the class and is... I thought I was addressing the motion on the floor and supporting my own motion that we accept the resolution as it is in the college catalog, since it is already official, and we don't change any of the language and leave it up to the determination of the instructor to determine whether a student's behavioral problems are affecting the class outcomes, the student learning outcomes.
Okay,
Greg. Well, no, I know for a fact that you can do what Phillip's proposing, because my dad's been doing that for 25 years, and he got that passed at Quincy College. So I don't know if it's like some statewide thing, and then each college can like modify it how they see fit. But I mean, that's happening in other places, for sure.
Sharon, then David, and Kevin.
You know, I respect that each individual instructor should have their own view, but I think the consistency of one instructor saying you can only miss 2 days and another instructor saying 6 days really sets us up for students, you know, saying, well, this wasn't that, and then we get more behavioral issues. I think something like a 25%, like you were saying with Chafee, would be consistently across the board, and then we're not having to fight with students like this instructor does this instructor does that, and consistency. And I agree that we need it, but I think it's the attendance that we're speaking about right now, not the behavior issue.
Okay. David.
Oh, I support Philip as well, but I'm just wondering in your research, did you look up the code to see what guidelines we have under them?
No, I was instructed by the registrar's office, and they did not mention in ed code that you were referring to. So
because the ed code would be the law, and then we could just kind of modify.
They did reference the ed code, but only on the behavioral portion of it. And that is why I'm not ready to tackle that, because I'm not ready right now to rewrite ed code in the state of California. But attendance code, and I would strongly disagree with making a uniform percentage or whatever a uniform determination, because just like in our classes, we have four exams and three exams and labs these days, lectures these days, clinic hours these days. I don't get grief for my syllabus, the way I structure my syllabus. So I think everybody in this room should have the individual opportunity to decide amongst themselves what they construe as fair attendance.
Kevin.
Going along with Philip's recommendation there, as far as determining by the individual course instructor, I think is very strong. But one thing I like about it a lot, too, is that it leaves it up to the individual instructor as to whether or not they basically want to drop a student from day one. If they don't show up, which may send a message after a few semesters to our charges that we start on day one, you don't come in 3 weeks and say, well, did I miss? But once again, it has to be applied, you know, equally across the board, because some people determine by the individual course professor, maybe they don't care if somebody shows up second week in September and what did I miss type thing. So I support this as is presented.
Okay, Bijou, I believe you had your hand up before.
I think what Philip is trying to address is some classroom management issues, as this topic says, based on a quantitative parameter, which is the attendance. While I agree with Sharon that we need to have some kind of uniformity, I agree with Philip too that we need to have the individual academic freedom to decide that. So I suggest that we leave this, we table this for now, recognizing the seriousness of this issue and addressing it in a subsequent meeting.
May I make a attentionally recommendation, did you?
Yes, I made a motion to table this for now.
Okay.
By recognizing the seriousness of the issue.
All right, so we have a motion to table. Second, it is tabled. But I would like to make another recommendation with Bijou. If Philip and a couple other members of the Senate wouldn't mind meeting once or twice before the next meeting, and maybe, you know, looking to see what the Ed Code has to say about the attendance issue, what the other community colleges are doing, so that we don't end up putting something forward that gets us into hot water, and then we can revisit that at the next meeting. And if not, that's fine.
Approve the suggestion.
I'm sorry?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, Kevin?
My question is, once it leaves our hands, whenever that may be, and it makes its way through the college council process, how long then? I'm assuming that no matter what we do, we wouldn't be able to get it in effect until perhaps the fall semester next year. Is that pretty much
a good possibility? It's a good possibility.
Okay.
But yeah, because it, you know, obviously we need to do a little bit of work and some research, but and as soon as it's ready and you guys want it and you approve it, it goes, I'll take it to college council the very next meeting, which meets twice a month, which is a good thing. It helps a little bit.
Whatever, I think, unless I missed it, I didn't see anything written up. I think I missed that.
It was up here.
I missed it.
Okay.
But I think the point is, it should be in writing.
Philip, are you all right with that suggestion?
No.
No.
I want to see this pass the day, so if it doesn't get passed, then I'll have to accept it.
I can give you a piece of candy today.
I call for the question. Then I will give you my answer.
You call for the question.
Yes.
Table it.
It's already been tabled, Philip.
How
does
it get
tabled?
I didn't get to vote.
One person tabled. We haven't voted to table it.
Yeah, no voted to table it.
Oh, I'm sorry. There were two motions. It was first and second, and okay. All those in favor of tabling this until the next meeting, please signify.
Discussion.
We are out of time, sir.
Yeah, I think this is fairly important to have my little patty fall out.
I'm going to shoot you. Go.
If you look at your contract, Article 8, Safety Conditions of Employment, Section 3, Personal Protection, Paragraph E, whenever the physical safety of an eligible employee is threatened during the course of his or her employment because of the behavior of any Palo Verde College student, employee, or member of the community at large, said employee shall
expediently report the threat to the superintendent president or in his absence another member of the administrative staff. Paragraph F goes on to say that immediate steps will be taken by the superintendent president or other administrator to assure the safety of the employee by whatever means are deemed to be appropriate. Note, by the way, that this section also guarantees $4 million in tort liability to go with your CTA educator liability.
All right, thank you. For that.
You can move them out.
Right.
You're ready for the question.
Okay, we need to call for the question because of time. All those that are in favor of tabling this until the next meeting, please signify by raising your hands. All those opposed to tabling this to the next meeting, hands please. So if we're not tabling it, all those who abstain.
It's still 1, 2. In other words, the discussion still stays open.
This discussion is still open. Bijou?
Madam Chairman, given that working conditions are already addressed in the CBA contract, given the instructor has the initiative and the ability to approach the superintendent president to address this issue, I again vote that I volunteer to participate in the study of all the implications and come back and report by the next meeting. So I agree that we should table this and we should study it further. Given that the working conditions have already been addressed, that the individual instructor has the ability to address this or her concern, we should table this issue, waiting some input from other colleges and from EdCode and all the other resources.
No, I understand, BJ. I'm kind of split in the middle. Philip wants his candy right now, and I understand that because I know the student that he's talking about because I've had the same issues with the same student. He went away for a while, now he's back. This time he got Philip. So I understand that, but the focus of this, Philip's intent, is to deal with attendance requirements at this point only. If overall the vote is we are not going to table this. And that is the vote, that we are going to continue discussion of this item. Yes, Brian and Bijou.
Confusion is what it is that we're looking at. I just picked up this little piece of paper that has
It's underlined.
Is that one statement?
That one statement.
One sentence, that's what we're approving.
No. Can I clarify?
Yeah, please.
As it says here, the current catalog entry is the first paragraph under attendance.
Okay.
That is all that's written in the catalog. What I propose is underneath proposed catalog entry, and everything underneath that is proposed.
Why is that underlined? Just
for emphasis.
You know, what we might do is, if we get past this, is just approve it. And as a draft or a proposal to go forward, because I think we need to kind of look at it, make sure we're
is that a motion
legal. So I would make a motion that we approve this as a draft submittal to the College Council.
Okay.
Have it at the next meeting. Have the College Council look at it.
Second,
go from there.
Okay.
Motion.
Second
by Robert.
Seconded by Robert. Any discussion on that?
I agree with Brian's suggestion. Since it's already in the college catalog, that we bring it up to the attention of the College Council and highlight this particular aspect, that this privilege or right is already guaranteed to the college professor and that we are allowed to exercise it.
Biju, I think you're misinterpreting this. This is only, there's two sections here. The top part is the only part that's in the catalog. The thing under proposed catalog, all this stuff that I've been talking about, is what I'm proposing that is not in the catalog.
would this be in addition to that paragraph or in
no,
instead of
in lieu of.
I call for the question.
Okay, question has been called for. All those in favor of this being a draft to be submitted to college council, signify by raising your hands. All those opposed, signify with hands, please. Abstentions?
Three.
All right, it will be going to college council as a draft. Philip, would you like to attend that meeting?
Sure, when is it, please? Next week. I think it's a week. It's at 1:30 on Tuesday, 1:30. On Tuesday, it's next Tuesday, whatever the date is.
I have class, but if I can...
I'll check it.
Can I just have one comment to address Dr. Robinson's comment?
Absolutely.
Read the contract. I did take it immediately to my supervisor, who was really, as you know, he told me to take it to Diana, and Diana said, take it to your Senate.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. It's That's a dance real. Time.
Needless to say, I was pretty pissed off.
Pissed off.
Sure.
And this student has a history, clearly. So it is. All right, on the issues of time, we still have two other new business items. I need a motion to table those two items. Motion was Robert and David. Okay. I need a motion to adjourn. I got a vote on tabling. All those in favor of tabling the item, say aye.
Aye.
All right.